The Education Department has two ambitious goals to reach by 2020. See the U.S. become the nation with the highest percentage of college graduates in the world, and see low-income and minority students find the same successes as their peers in graduating from high school and having access to college education. The department's open government plan is key to achieving those goals. Jill James is director of ED.gov in the Office of Communications and Outreach. She's also co-chair of the Open Government Working Group at the Education Department. And she joins us now to talk about the plan and how education is communicating with the public. Jill, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, Tom.
It sounds like you have a pretty big portfolio there to oversee.
We do. Yeah, and I do. But, it's a lot of exciting challenges, and it's an exciting time to be doing this work.
All right. So tell us about your new transparency plan and how you can relate it back to those two mission kind of goals.
Sure. They really do all tie together. Some of the things that are new about this open government plan for 2014 include a department-wide disclosure review board, which is typical for statistical agencies, but a little bit of a newer thing for a department or another federal agency. We are going to continue to do a lot of work on our education data inventory website, and it's got data from the department, and it goes above and beyond what we're required to do just to be able to participate in data.gov and other open data policy initiatives. We're also working on improving the customer experience and for upstream input on rulemaking as we make policy and come up with rules. And we also are doing a lot of enhancements for a system that we have called FREE, and it's the Federal Registry for Educational Excellence. And it's a resource for teachers, parents, and students, and we're working to make it more engaging and have the ability to crowdsource some features in the future.
And just to detail about that disclosure review board, do you think that would help the department get better at FOIA request fulfillment, which every agency sort of waxes and wanes with?
I think it will contribute to improvements there. And we've established the board, and we're continuing to build out what its standard procedures are going to be. And it's going to be responsible for review and approval of disclosure to avoid and avoidance protections to protect privacy, but also release as much as we can. So I think that that's definitely key and really relates to FOIA in terms of proactive disclosure.
So let's talk about the goal of helping, this is, an education priority, I guess, policy to help low-income and minority students graduate at higher rates from high school and then have access to college education. How can the data and the information that you are disclosing and making available help that goal? Is it information that local school boards and so forth can access to help them with the graduation rates?
Yeah, so there's information that's available at various different levels of locality. So we have, the information that's aggregated at state and district and then even school levels, depending on the data collection. And I do think that more data and whenever you can shine a light on that really does help with decision making and being able to apply resources in a smart way to move initiatives forward to help students who need greater access and opportunity to things like higher education. And examples of some of the ways we've used data to help forward equal access and opportunity would be the civil rights data collection that we opened up in March, and the release was for the 2011-2012 school year, and it was the first time we had conducted the collection down to the school level and reported that out, and it included information about school discipline, access to preschool, access to college and career-ready coursework, and the study really brought to light, some alarming disparities and educational inequalities that really help shed light on it and help make different decisions. And in terms of college affordability and completion, another activity where I think data that we're encouraging schools to share in a more consistent way would be the college shopping sheet that we have. We've encouraged adoption of it, and more than 1,000 institutions of higher education have made use of it. It makes it a lot easier for students to compare financial aid offers across different schools, so it makes it more apples to apples so that they get a better picture of that. And that really helps with their college decision-making process.
We're speaking with Jill James. She's director of ED.gov in the Office of Communications and Outreach and co-chair of the Open Government Working Group at the Education Department. And you mentioned also that you took a page from the statistical agencies. I guess there's about a dozen of those that have a council. And so I'm interested in how that happened. And did you get some specific advice from the statistical agencies on dealing with information the department has?
We did. So as part of the work, we have a department-wide data strategy team, and the Disclosure Review Board sort of grew out of the activities and conversations that that group was having. And included in that group is representation from all the program offices across the department and also the National Center for Education Statistics and the Institute for Educational Statistics. And so there are two statistical agencies that are sort of part of the Department of Education, and we really did talk with them, and they've been really actively involved, and they have representation on the Disclosure Review Board as well. So it's been really instrumental.
And you mentioned the civil rights collection. What other types of data collections do you envision creating? Because that was something, as you said, was brand new and shed light that on phenomena that people didn't understand or know about before. And where do those ideas come from?
Sure, that's a good question. We definitely have a really robust portfolio of data collections that we already do, and I think that we continue to look at balancing how much deeper we can go to give local-level data with student privacy and considerations for the for FERPA, the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. And as we look, we're always considering things about how to show outcomes for student achievement and how educational reforms are working so that we can identify what works, what doesn't, what we can scale up. And so it's really a lot of data collections that look at various aspects of the educational experience.
And this emphasis on openness and putting out data sets, how is that affecting, or how are you hoping it will affect the people that working throughout the department, that maybe their mindset will change toward a more, I don't know, default toward openness and disclosure than perhaps might exist now?
I think that the department folks are really committed to transparency, and the emphasis on open government over the last few years has really challenged us to do things in a much more transparent way, and it's been really productive. And I think that we are always working for greater transparency and encourage data-driven decision-making for folks at the department, for the wider education community, and also for families and students. And so this really falls in line with all that. And open data, as I've mentioned, can really, shed light on new insights and help identify what practices we could scale up. I think that open government and transparency initiatives are really woven into the work that we're doing every day at the department, and decision-making based on smart data is really part of that.
And let's talk about rulemaking for a moment. I guess education doesn't come up at the top of list of agencies that one normally considers a rulemaking agency. So just briefly, what are the rules, what are the rule areas that you cover, and what do you expect to change about how you go about rulemaking as a result of this new policy?
Well, there are rules and regulations that the department relates to in terms of institutions of higher education and institutions that receive federal funding for their students, and just schools that receive federal funds through a variety of programs, both formula and discretionary grants. And so that's always evolving, and we're always trying to keep things really relevant, reduce the burden on the institutions in terms of what the regulations require them to do or what the reporting requirements are. And so there's always give and take with those institutions and also those customers, students and parents and advocates. And we always try as best we can when we're considering new policies or new rules to engage the public and those institutions and stakeholders really early in the process. So it helps shape the drafts before we really get into formal rulemaking and the formal kind of regulations.gov, things that are in process for input and feedback.
And talking about higher education, as I think the president has said, and I think anyone who's ever paid for kids to go through college, as I have twice now, would say that it's probably the least transparent and least accountable sector of the entire economy, including medicine and healthcare. And so can you envision a day when there might be an objective source of quality versus cost versus location versus et cetera, data on higher education, because it sure doesn't exist now. Everyone relies on those rating books, which we all know the colleges game like crazy.
The department's really working to change that, and a lot of the activities that we have going on around the College Affordability and Completion Initiative really, I think, are working toward a vision and future that we see where this can be a better landscape for students and families to make decisions. And so things like that college shopping sheet that I mentioned encourage institutions, when they make their financial aid offers to students, to have them be more consistent, so it's easier for students to compare and understand what it really means. And we're also looking at ways to have students be empowered forward with more information about institutions in terms of what the future earnings of students tend to look like, of graduates, what completion rates look like, what the sort of ability of students after graduation to repay their loans or the percentage that default. And so that sort of information is really powerful as students are comparing offers and making choices about what's going to make the most sense for them as they pursue their college education.
Yeah, sounds like a big data challenge to me.
It is, and it's really a partnership between the department and those institutions, and it's an evolving, you know, ongoing activity.
And so briefly, you have this new open government plan. Is it in place now? What happens next?
Sure. So all of the federal agencies are encouraged to update their plans every 2 years, and so we, along with many other agencies, posted new plans at the beginning of June, and it lays out what we're doing for the next 2 years and also is a recap of our progress on the plans that we laid out in 2010 and 2012. And so some of these things that I have been discussing are definitely included there, and it really dovetails with Ed's overall strategic plan. The Department of Education really has baked transparency in with a lot of our goals, and they really do work together, and it's part of the measurements and metrics that we're collecting to decide if we're effective in meeting what we're trying to accomplish.
Jill James is director of ED.gov in the Office of Communications and Outreach and co-chair of the Open Government Working Group at the Education Department. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.